Hi, welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched a show. I'm Mike Dorval, and I've seen none of Psych.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I have seen none of Psych.
Oh, hi, I'm special guest star Jenny Lin, and I have seen almost every episode of Psych, not counting the movies and the musical.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what? Yeah,
surprise!
Wait, whoa. There's a musical?
There's a two-hour musical that was released, like, between season 7 and 8.
Why are we bothering with the finale? We can just watch the musical.
I don't know if you could tell that Melanie's a big fan of musicals.
No, I couldn't.
I freaking love musicals. Oh, what a happy... Just knowing that makes me happy.
Are you excited? Are you excited for the show?
I'm excited to watch the musical, but I don't know if I'm excited to watch the finale.
No, it's going to be fun, I think. I haven't watched it in a few years, but...
So, Jenny, nice to see you.
Yeah, hi.
Nice to see you guys. I haven't seen you guys for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like the last time we saw each other was at a Wave Birds concert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Like us on Facebook.
Yeah. nice plug, guys.
Yeah.
We did it. But I feel like that was the last time you and I saw each other.
I remember seeing, like, everyone at the Dorval's, like, Dear 2020 ringing the new year party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. On Gather, right? Or like a real one. I can't remember.
The real, like, in live person one.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Before.
So that wouldn't be 2020 then. The start. I guess it was technically 2020. Depends on, like, do you define a New Year's party as being the year that you're going into or the year that you're coming out of?
Well, like, we were still physically... Oh, I guess so. We were physically still inside your house in 2021.
2020. So it's 2019.
2020. No, 2020. Yeah.
So, yeah.
2020 is like a blur, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's like existed, but also didn't exist.
Yes.
The New Year's party, 2019, 2020 New Year's party.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Mike is just trying to cover his ass because he's trying to make sure that everyone knows that they did lock down correctly.
Yes.
So I can see it in your face. You're like panicking a little.
I'm like, oh no.
Did we see other people? Oh my god.
So how's your pandemic been?
Like very slow and fast, and like it's like a time loop, but also time keep on passing, but also nothing happened, but also time is. Yeah,
that seems really accurate actually for me too. That's a really great way of putting it.
I saw that you're doing some acting now.
Yeah, I guess the correct term for it is aspiring actress.
Me too!
Right, Melody? Yeah.
Ugh, I love it.
Let's see. TELUS has the Story Hive program where you can pitch stories to them, local stories, and they get filmed. And I had met Sunny Chen from a voice acting class taught by... Callan.
That would be Callan, our editor.
Yes.
Yep.
Callan, your wife.
Yes, my editor and wife.
So you can see that on the Story Hive YouTube. And also if you have like TELUS on demand, you could also watch it through that.
Awesome.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like I'm doing my hobby things, which I think you guys have seen, like weightlifting.
Yeah.
Pole.
The pole. Yeah.
All fun stuff.
Badass.
Thank you.
The stuff on your Instagram.
Yes. My only source of social media, not counting Reddit.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I hear Facebook is past its prime, but I'm an old person, so.
Like us on Facebook, everyone. but also we're on Instagram.
So, what do you guys know about Psych?
The only thing I know is that there is a movie that came out recently, Psych 2. And then... just now what you mentioned, that there's also a musical in another movie. So I've seen like Psych show up like in my Facebook feed randomly. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is, but cool. And then you're like, well, I want to do a thing on this show. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was a movie, but whatever. And that's basically it.
Okay. I feel like I know some things because a friend of mine whose name is Melanie and is a definitely another person, not me, is really into this show and told me that I should watch it and that I never got around to it. But if I remember her pitch correctly, I think someone's a psychic or not really a psychic, and they're detectives. And that's it. So someone is or is not psychic.
Okay, so supernatural elements.
But I kind of already got that from the name psych. But then also, is it trying to psych me out? I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I actually thought that it was, for the record, I actually thought it was like a psychiatrist situation, not a psychic situation.
Oh.
So now that you're saying that, I'm like, okay, interesting.
So it could mean many things.
Okay. Many possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we're going to watch the final episode of Psych. If you want to watch along at home, it's available stream on Prime Video in Canada. We'll be right back. All right, we are back.
So what did you guys think?
I liked it. I'll start off with that.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily that it's not what I expected, but I've never seen anything quite like it. It was very unexpected.
Okay. Yeah. In what way is it unexpected? Like, were you expecting more supernatural things?
No, it's like watching a live action cartoon.
Yes. You know what? Like, it's funny you say that because I actually had that in my notes. Cartoon. Yeah,
it's a cartoon, but it's mm-hmm. live people, and their movements are like super exaggerated. Yeah. And like the music was
is very Looney Tunes.
It's very Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really weird, actually.
But it's a procedural, or at least appears to be a procedural from this episode. So it's like a procedural cartoon. Comedy?
Well, it's, I guess, like a regular comedy where each episode doesn't really need to tie in with the rest of the season, mm-hmm. but they'll have like little bits of story that progresses it. So like mm-hmm. if you start with season 2 and you go to season 4, you're not missing that much.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, it's okay. A very fluffy sort of...
Oh yeah, it's a very fluffy episode.
I want to say it probably... It's from I want to say it's probably a broadcast TV show, maybe. I don't know. Do you know where it aired?
It aired on NBC.
Yeah, exactly. Mm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can we just talk about the main guy for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Spencer.
Okay. Do you find him likable?
I think he's supposed to be extremely annoying.
Yeah.
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 It's interesting because if he was in like our world, people would hate him. But then everyone else around him just kind of accepts him as this inevitability almost. Like
he's like the lovable asshole. Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, exactly. Right. But I want to say the cartoonishness of the entire world is heightened. He doesn't stick out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because like even his friend is like Gus is also pretty goofy.
Yeah.
He definitely started getting more goofy as the seasons went on. Like I think he's supposed to be the straight man when it first begins.
Right,
but
right.
They just like got into such a nice groove, you know, the dance that they do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was weird.
It was weird, man. It was super weird.
It was super weird to watch. Because I was like, okay, as a procedural, you would think that there would be like at least some heavy moments. But like even like if I think back to other shows that kind of fall along the same spectrum of this, but like not quite as goofy, it would be like The Mentalist or Castle or whatever. And they're still like super light, but they're still about like really serious things, which throws me for a loop because I'm used to watching like Criminal Minds and shit where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, damn, this is really
this
serious.
Is definitely like sometimes like what you said about the cartoon, it almost feels like it's made for kids because like the way they run away from like the bad guy, it's just like, you would definitely be dead. You would definitely be caught.
Why isn't he shooting you? Because in reality, he would just shoot you.
I almost want to say that like, unlike those shows you mentioned or like, you know, something like Angel or Supernatural, like this feels like comedy is like its first goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the procedural is secondary for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
So I'm curious to see if this show is billed as a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy. It's a comedy crime solving show.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a supernatural element? Because I didn't really get a hint of that.
No.
Okay.
That's what there was the video that he sent to Lassiter,
mm-hmm.
where he says, "You've always suspected I'm not really."
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended the video because he didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
He's not psychic.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, Lassiter is like the chief of police, right? Mm-hmm. If he had heard that Sean says, like, I'm not actually psychic, that means he basically had to throw out all the cases that they've ever, like, solved before.
Why is that? Is that because he bills himself as a psychic?
Yeah, yes. Basically, like, everything's tainted, right? All the evidence is tainted.
Well, like, I mean, wouldn't he still be a consultant, though, if he wasn't psychic?
Yeah, like does he bill himself as a psychic and then hire him as a psychic?
Yeah,
is that even...
Yeah, like, his business is, like, private... psychic detective, and the police hires them on as consultants to cases.
That's weird, man.
You gotta suspend your disbelief here.
I mean,
I feel like that's happened before.
I mean, it happened in Ace Attorney, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that to be like a realistic concept.
Well, I feel like the you know, channeling spirits from the beyond is a little bit different than like, oh, I sense water. And it's actually just because he like spotted water from the corner of his eye and he saw some evidence there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a little bit different.
Right. Yeah. Because there was throughout the episode, now that you mentioned it, he was saying stuff like I sense, but like he never finished talking because.
Yeah. You guys didn't really see a lot of his like psych outs where he like pretends to like, oh my God, the spirits are speaking to me. The water. Oh my gosh, I see something here.
Yeah.
And then he does like a whole scene about how he hears something or something speaking to him.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm guessing is that with his dad being a retired cop, and then also now like a criminology professor,
mm-hmm.
he was just trained like as a child.
Yeah. So like his dad, Henry Spencer, basically just started like grilling him since he was a young child to like notice everything.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very perceptive.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha.
And he's got like, what's it called? Eidetic memory?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. English is not my native language. It's just the only language that I know now. But
yeah, yeah. So he remembers everything that he sees.
Yeah, pretty mm-hmm. much.
That's why he was able to recall like stuff being in that room.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of flashbacks. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I was like, is he just imagining that those things are there? That's not evidence.
No, he just remembers everything.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So should we try and run through the episode a little?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So it starts out in this really nice building.
Mm-hmm.
Where it seems Gus has a new job. I couldn't figure out what the job was.
So he is a pharmaceutical rep.
Oh.
Yeah. I know it doesn't show at all in the episode, but like he is a pharmaceutical rep.
Yeah. So what's this thing where like they appear to have like a psychic detective agency or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
But then, like, why does he also have a job? Like, does that job not pay?
Being a psychic detective? No, it really doesn't pay. I don't even need to have watched the show, and I can tell you that does not pay.
No, it doesn't pay. And it's like, there's actually an episode where Sean is asking if he's a mooch, because generally, Gus has his full-time job as a pharmaceutical sales rep, which pays for psych, and then his... I guess like fiance now, Juliet is with her job as a detective is the one that pays for all the other bills.
Right.
So yes, he is a mooch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he just does it for fun.
He wants it to be like a main job, right? But it doesn't pay well.
Yeah.
So he probably failed at becoming a police officer is what?
No, he didn't want to be like his dad.
But then why become a detective?
He has like a love-hate relationship with his dad, like very difficult relationship. So he really didn't want to be like his dad. And the season one, episode one, started out with like, because he notices things from like news stories and crime scenes that they show through news stories, he calls in to the like Crime Stoppers line. And the detectives think that since he knows so much, he must be a main suspect. So they were about to arrest him. And he just pretends that he's a psychic to get out of the whole situation. And it just like snowballed from there.
Gotcha. So he's like, oh, I have an idea. And also being a psychic, I guess, is kind of like a bit of a fuck you to his dad's work.
It's more of a like, this is the only thing that will make sense. Right. Apparently.
Right.
Okay.
So the entire thing was a long con for 8 seasons.
Yes. It was a long con.
Wow. Okay. Does his fiance know that he's not psychic?
Yeah. So she finds out in season 7, and they did break up because like it's big lie, right?
Right.
And she decided she was okay with it, essentially.
Okay.
Cool. This is not a serious show.
No, I get it. Okay.
Everything is okay. Step over the murder.
Everything's fine. And he's charming.
Yeah.
Okay. So new job. He's got a new car. There was free food. So I have another question. I haven't eaten much flaxseed. Is flaxseed tasty enough to be eaten like chips?
I don't even know what flaxseed is.
Because he eats a lot of it. And I realize now that it's for later on in the episode when he throws it in that guy's eye. But I'm just like wondering.
It's spicy.
Is it?
That's what he said. The spicy flaxseed. But I don't think flaxseeds are normally spicy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And again, you guys have to tell me what flaxseed is. Is it a kind of grain?
I mean, I feel like I've seen it as like a supplement. But not as a spice.
Yeah. It's very good for your poop.
Is it because we're not health nuts? Is that why we don't know what flaxseed is?
I guess so. I used to work in Whole Foods.
Give us the information that you learned.
The flaxseeds were there, but I never like took a handful and put it in my mouth and was like, delicious.
Well, good, because that's how employees do anyway.
Yeah, I was a good employee. I wasn't like all those other ones, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So they spy on that girl called Love.
Middle name's Love.
Yes. He also mentioned something like you move fast. He says you move fast, which seems to imply that this guy had a girlfriend before this episode.
I think he was being a dick.
Well, also Gus does fall fast for girls.
Does he? Okay.
He falls fast, but he doesn't usually do anything about it, is what I was getting.
It's one of those, I haven't watched Supernatural, but here is like how one of the brothers, whenever he falls in love with a girl, it's always a villain. That's kind of what happens to whenever he gets with a girl.
Okay.
Aww.
Well, we've only seen the last episode.
Yeah, we've only seen so.
Okay.
They're okay. So the Sean guy is, so he's acting as a narrator sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Only in this episode.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression because we see the DVDs at the end.
The DVDs at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, he's along this episode, he kind of gives like context of stuff that's going on. And one of the things that he says is he wants to close Psych down and go be with his lady.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to tell Gus.
Like, this show is supposed to be in like Santa Barbara and his lady is in San Francisco.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to talk about this for a sec. But I don't know if you guys noticed like any of the background or it looks familiar to you, because Psych is filmed locally.
It's Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, it's Vancouver, right.
I mean, I didn't want to say it because like it always comes up. It's always like, is this in Vancouver? I was like, should I say if it's in Vancouver?
It is in Vancouver. It's Vancouver.
It was like, oh gosh, that especially that last shot, I was like, oh yeah, like, that's Vancouver.
And then you see the Golden Gate Bridge and like second guessing yourself.
It's like, oh no, it's Vancouver at the Golden Gate Bridge.
A green screen or something back there. It's Vancouver. Everything is filmed in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's one shot or two.
No, but like, especially this show. Like, if you watch another local show called Castle, like, you can't really tell.
Was Castle filmed here?
Sorry, not Castle. Man in the High Castle.
Oh.
Yeah, that's also filmed here, but like you can't really tell. But with this show especially, like majority of it is filmed in like White Rock. And if you've been to White Rock, you like immediately know like, oh, I know where this is filmed. I know this voice.
I love it. Vancouver, man, it doesn't get enough praise for being like the chameleon of all places. Mm-hmm. It's great.
We can be Seattle or we can be Santa Barbara, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, it's like one episode of Psych where like they pretended that they went to Britain and it was just Gastown.
Oh my God.
Gastown's so great for that. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like, you need an old timey place? Let's go to Vancouver Gastown. Mm-hmm.
And they're all like close shots, right? So don't like, need to get so much. It's like, it's Gastown.
It's like, ooh, the clock.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, an alley.
Okay. So Sean needs to tell Gus that he wants to leave and close down Psych. And then we get to the other detectives. And one, I think, was named Brannigan, who was the lady. And the other one is Lassiter, who is played by Timothy Olmanson. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yep.
Okay. I am going to confess something to you guys. Now, in Psych, he doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
But
what else is he in?
If you've seen Gallivant, which is a like medieval musical show.
Oh, it's the musical.
He's in that. He plays the king. Mm-hmm. Him with a beard, almost as hot as Pedro Pascal for me.
There's episodes where he has a beard in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm into that.
It was really surprising to see him in this episode play a competent character, because his character in Galvant is not. Like, he definitely has some range for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's also, because I saw him, I was like, oh, it's that guy. He's also in This Is Us, which is.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So he's got range.
Mm-hmm. Range.
He's got range.
Range.
It's not wrong.
Anyways, okay. So they talk to the people at the police precinct or whatever, and then there's a murder, and the murder is mirroring their partner dynamic, and it's making him feel bad about about leaving, and making him feel guilty and wanting to tell Gus all this stuff, which is, that's a thing.
I thought that was really, really clever, actually. I really enjoyed that.
You thought that
you enjoyed the mirroring?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was like a really fun way to play off of the fact that this was kind of like the end for these characters, or at least appeared to be. We'll get into that, but
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, there's a guy there's the two partners. There, one was the best friend who had an alibi, which is why they think it's not him. The other guy's murdered. They chit-chat a bit. And then Sean is being like super unprofessional. And then Lassiter calls him outside. They talk and Lassiter's like, you're leaving and you need to tell Gus, because he's a detective and he's competent and he knows that kind of stuff. And then they hug, which was maybe the funniest thing to me that I saw the whole episode. That was really, really cute and really fun.
Yeah, that was a really cute scene, because like throughout the series, it's like Lassiter never really gave him the time of day. Always think that Sean's so stupid.
Yeah.
And then they like, I like how they hug like kind of semi-seriously, and then they part ways, and then he's like, okay. Lassiter gives in a little bit, mm-hmm. where he's just like, all right, how's my good boy or whatever. I'm like,
because Lassiter just became a dad, so.
Oh,
right.
Gotcha. Okay, so his daddy instincts are taking over. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, his fatherly instincts are taking over.
No, his daddy instincts. We don't all have daddy issues. We all can use that word.
daddy. Great. So now what happens is Brannigan is
super competent.
Super competent, like amazingly competent. I guess it's a way to tell the audience, like, hey, this precinct's going to be okay without them, you know, mm-hmm. because she basically steals their thunder constantly. Anytime he's trying to speak or anytime he time he figures something out, she's like one step ahead of him and she's already on it.
Yeah. Is she from like the rest of this? Like she was billed in the intro, I noticed. So like, is she around a lot in this show?
No, I think I don't quite remember if she was in the previous episode, but she's definitely only in this season.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So she's like new.
Yeah.
New. Okay.
New-ish. Mm-hmm. Okay. I liked her. Her whole explanation while she's talking about like the mushrooms and the algae or whatever.
The raccoon scat.
Yeah, the raccoons. She's like, here are where raccoons hide. And I'm like, how did you know that?
Because she's smart.
Because she's so smart. Anyways, okay, here's another thing that I noticed. This part about the show like really made me happy because with TV, especially serious TV, like people don't move around as much. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like just on camera, they're very still. And for this and entire serious. Scene, yes, still and serious, but like compared to theater, TV is just always more still. And when she did that monologue, it felt like theater, which mm-hmm. I really love.
Like she was moving around a lot too.
Oh, her hands mm-hmm. were flying all over the place. I was like, what is happening? This is great. Take your space, lady. I love it. Now where am I? I don't know.
So we find the body.
Oh, yes. Okay, so yeah, thanks to her speech, they know where the body is. They go to get the body. But there was no body? No, there was a body. I can't remember. Was there a body?
No, I think it's a treasure chest or like an empty space.
That's right. There was either something or nothing. I'm not too sure.
It's either Atlantis or nothing.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what they did find out was that there was a place with a camera where they could get a video or a still or whatever.
A toll booth with a camera.
Toll booth. That's what it was. And then we should be detectives. Sorry. And then they found out who the other person was and then they were going to go and arrest him. But, I guess I should mention Sean's like, this is the last few moments of the case and I still haven't told you, but it'll be easier if I tell you now because then you could like not feel as much because you'll be distracted by the case and this is hard. Feelings are hard. I'm a man. Hard feelings. And then they go in and it doesn't matter because the case isn't over. The guy that they were going to get is dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
What, Mike? What, Michael?
Nothing.
what are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Cool. So, the case isn't over.
No, because there's still 20 minutes left.
Yes. Exactly. Also, they need more filler. So, then it cuts back to the Sean guy doing his narrator bit again. And I was wondering what he was doing. He was like going into a barrel, like an emergency barrel.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what the deal was.
It's like a survival kit or whatever, survival barrel.
Yeah.
He was like taking a flashlight apart and like just taking batteries. Like, is it just a thing he does? Or
I'm not too sure. I thought he was eating something.
The batteries?
Yeah, so there's confusing barrel there for uh-huh. comedic effect. Yeah.
Gotcha. Comedy. It's for comedy. Yeah. Great. Okay. So, okay. And then it gets to Sean and Gus. It goes to Sean at the Gus's work. And he hides when Gus and another guy.
Yeah, he hides behind some like
cereal boxes.
Multiple cereal boxes that are laid out horizontally for no reason.
Yeah, that was weird. That was like, this place is weird and I don't like it.
It's like a mini Google, right? Or Microsoft, where they just have like food lying around.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I would like that at my work, actually, now that I think about it. But not the way the boxes were. That was weird.
No, because they were horizontal. Like, who just takes a box like that?
Psychopaths. That's who. But he hides and then Gus confesses, and it's very obvious that he's lying, that he like wants a house and blah, blah, and like wants kids and wants to do the whole family thing and that he's been like held back all this time. I guess there was some truth to it, but like basically making Sean feel like he's been holding him back this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that conversation's over, he cartoonishly knocks everything over.
Yeah.
Like the worst shelf, right?
Yeah.
The worst shelf that should be like nailed into.
It immediately fell over. You can tell that wasn't IKEA, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was definitely the moment for me, the crossing over point of me being like, this is definitely a cartoon. Like it was definitely happening up to that point, but that was definitely the most ridiculous thing that yes. happened in this episode.
Yeah.
Physical yeah. humor is this point.
Yeah, it's almost like something right out of Pink Panther. It was so weird.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that remember when he was like kneeling down and then when he stood up, he just like started like his leg was asleep. He chose to have his leg asleep, but then he was just like jumping around and then like smacking his leg. And I was like, what is happening? What is this?
Yeah.
That was like right at the beginning, too. Scary.
Right. Right.
They have a little tiff. So and Sean convinces Gus to leave work early. To go solve the case.
It is actually amazing that Gus has managed to keep his job for 8 years because yeah. he will constantly leave.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he just constantly leaves work.
That's so... Listen, I get that this is a show, but I just want to encourage some good work ethic. Like, that's all I'm saying. Because I'm just saying, when a person like leaves... Or like if a person it decides one day to just be like, hey, I don't feel like working today. So like, fuck the establishment or whatever. The one you're really fucking over is actually your coworkers. So just like be nice to your coworkers, I guess. I don't know.
Be nice to your coworkers. Don't eat flaxseed.
Wait. Yeah, don't eat flaxseed like it's like it's chips. I feel that would just wreck your butt.
Colon? Is that the scientific word?
Yes.
I mean, butt is also scientific.
Derriere.
How do we get here?
This is the tangent episode today for sure. We're tangenting all over the place. No, that's fine. It seems very.
I think it matches like, how the show is.
Yeah, it matches
the energy.
It matches the energy of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. So after convincing Gus to leave work in like 43 minutes and 10 seconds or something, he goes to see his dad. And there, honestly, I checked out a little bit at this moment, but he said something about you got to solve the case. And he's like, you told me to solve the case. And he's like, I always tell you to solve the case. And I think there was a moment there, but I missed it. Can you enlighten me on what was going on there?
I think it's supposed to be like a very wholesome... moment where like finally Sean and his dad are on the same page.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
There's also a moment in that scene where he says, why do you still have that picture? And he's like, it's because I have hair. And I just, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of like good lines in this episode. And there's a lot of like not as good lines, but they just keep throwing them out there. And then some of them stick and they're really good.
Yeah. A lot of this show, like with a lot of comedies,
improvised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, that makes sense.
I figured. I could sense that it was improv. Yeah.
Yeah. In hindsight, that makes sense. Something I want to ask you, Jenny, is like in terms of like the jokes in this show. Mm-hmm. Like, do you always find the jokes funny, or do you no. kind of cringe sometimes?
But some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
Some of them you're like,
okay,
all right.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely was like. Yeah, okay, like sometimes. A lot of the times it's like I don't have an attachment to these characters, but I probably would laugh at that if I understood this character better.
Right.
And there are definitely moments where it's like, that was really funny. So that picture frame was definitely one of those moments.
I think I only laughed once during this entire thing. I'm so sorry. I just don't think that this is...
Why are you apologizing to me?
I don't know, to yourself. I'm sorry for me because I wish I could find enjoyment in this because I do recognize that it's funny, but it's like there isn't a moment where it's not trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. Like even the serious moments, they don't take any serious moments.
No serious moments.
Yeah.
At all. I like having that balance is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's more like I have involuntary smiles that are happening. And I think I chuckled at the picture comment.
Do you also have some like exhale off the nose?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of that. Yeah,
well, I mean, Michael just breathes.
But I feel like if I had like a few drinks or something, I would probably like my defenses were down a little bit, I would probably, you know.
So you will only enjoy the jokes while inhibited?
Yeah. I would just say that laughter for me does not mean that I'm is not the only case where I'm enjoying a joke. Does that make sense?
Laughter doesn't mean I like anything.
I can watch a comedy and not laugh and be like, that was funny.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't do that, actually.
Yeah, it's like you're laughing or nothing. If you're not laughing, it's not funny.
No, that's, I mean, like, that's your threshold. I can, like, smile, or I could just do, like, a, you know. It doesn't need to be a guffaw or anything. I'm just saying that, like, if I'm enjoying it, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
I'm very obvious with my face.
This is why I like watching TV and movies with you, Melanie.
Because you know when it's funny. Because she goes, oh.
Yeah, I know when she's enjoying it. Exactly.
And if I enjoy it too much, like I did the first time I watched Toy Story 3, which I saw with my entire family, we laughed constantly. And the thing is, my brother and my mother all have the same laugh as me, so we just like echoed each other. We were so loud. And after the movie, the people in front of us turned around and
theater. Yeah,
they turned around and they were like, I don't think you guys enjoyed that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho, sarcasm.
Yeah.
I like that you like my joke. Thank you.
I'll never forget the time when I went to see Jurassic World with Callan, and she could not stop laughing through that entire movie. And I was like, this isn't a comedy. She's like, this is just so ridiculous. Our editor, Callan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so, what's funny about it? Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. Sorry, let's get back on track.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sean and Gus go to the crime scene and they deduce that it wasn't a robbery, and then they find a map.
Like, how did the police not find that map in the minibar? It was like very obvious where it was hidden.
Yeah, there was like a clear, there was like a little like thing there too that they just completely left. There was like a big piece of metal gold jewelry or something.
Yeah, that was on the ground specifically. Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm sure the police are competent or whatever.
Yeah, they're competent enough that they would hire a psychic, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the show. So, yeah, they deduced it wasn't a robbery. It was, like, something else, like an assassin, or there was, like, a conspiracy or something. And then they find a map in the mini fridge that the police missed. And on the map is what they assume is a treasure. So they go to get a treasure. But before that, they have like a happy dance thing that was just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's their victory dance. They're like...
Do they do that every time?
Yeah, as the show goes on, they do it more often.
Nice.
I think at one point they even mentioned the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a thing.
The victory discovery dance.
Yeah, right.
And then they go to the site and they dig up, or I guess Sean makes Gus dig everything up or tricks him.
You know, it was so obvious that this site is the exact same site as the last site.
Yeah, from a different angle. So the-
Which is like, what do you think that is? It feels like it's grouse or like some other like forest in North Van, right?
Honestly, it could be any forest in one of the parks.
Yeah.
So they think that it's going to be treasure, but it turns out to be a bag, which very obviously had a body in it. And then they were like, ah, a body.
Gus can't handle like dead bodies. So he always gets freaked out.
Oh, no. Oh, but at the very end, he enters that crime scene and there was a body.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It only works when the joke works.
Gotcha. Okay. So they go to the coroner.
The coroner's great.
I love the coroner, by the way. He was really great. Yeah, he was really good. And then even when he was playing off that Brannigan lady, I was just like, this is funny. I like this. Mm-hmm. This is great. and then through stuff that he said, that's details that I don't remember, they figure out that it's the guy from the beginning of the show who is the murderer.
The partner.
Yeah.
But then they never talk about, like, the second assassin again. Like, whatever happened to him?
Was there a second assassin?
Like, the hitman that he hired.
To kill his partner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he dead?
Is he dead?
Yes, that's the body that they found.
In the hotel room.
No, he found.
I thought you guys said there was no body in the hotel room.
No, there was a body
in the hotel room. There wasn't a body in the first dig site.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there was. But the body in the hotel room was the... It wasn't the partner? No, that was the...
No, the body at the very beginning of the show in the mansion was the partner. And then the body in...
The hotel room was the assassin. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we totally watched this episode.
yeah, we did. We're remembering stuff.
We're psychic. It's cool.
It turns out that the body in that, like, where the treasure was supposed to be buried was actually, like, a...
previous murder victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guy at the beginning and the partner murdered because of like money or whatever.
I think they're all real estate Mongols or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was competing Mongol. So they gotta kill the Mongol.
Yes. Yes. I love it. And then there's more stuff about him only caring about telling his friend how he's moving, but still not having the courage to do it. There's more evidence that comes up, which actually leads them to the car that's been impounded that belonged to one of the victims, and they find the gun. So they have the weapon from like many, many years ago. And then instead of like taking that evidence to the police, Sean decides to take Gus to their high school for some reason.
For good memories.
For good memories, so that he can break the news to him that he was going to leave.
Yeah, remember Lassiter said you bring him to some place that he's happy at.
Yes. Why is he happy at his old high school?
Don't know.
Okay. Alrighty. Because that seems a little weird, but that's fine.
Why was there a survival burial? We don't remember.
Yeah. Why was there the student car in the parking lot with keys? Mm-hmm.
And with gas. It's 20 years old.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yep. But anyways. So while they're there, Sean still can't bring himself to tell Gus this news. And then the guy from the beginning, the murderer, finds them and holds them at gunpoint to get the gun because his handprint is on the gun. Mm-hmm. His prints are on the gun.
Yeah. He follows them all around the city. And finally, the school is the right place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he followed them to like a Wendy's or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird, because I don't like Wendy's. Do you guys like Wendy's?
I'm not like the biggest fan of Wendy's, but I also, if we could cut this, because I you know, what if Wendy's offers us a deal or something?
I used to work at Wendy's.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, and it's odd because I still enjoyed Wendy's after I worked there, which is unusual for fast food places, I think.
How many fast food places have you worked at?
Just the one. But like most of my friends that have worked at fast food places can't eat there anymore. And for me, that's not the case with Wendy's. Hmm.
Is it your favorite fast food place? Like we're talking fast food tier food.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like if they were all like, it just has to do with like which one's closest, really.
Okay.
Like I would say like Wendy's, McDonald's, A&W.
Yeah, but are we just only talking about burger fast food places?
That's true. Why don't we just... Okay, guys, let's rate the whole menu. And we'll compare them to other menus. Okay, how about just burgers? Let's do a classic, like, okay, quarter pounder tier.
We really aren't interested in talking about psych, are we?
No, it's a fun show, but also we have other stuff to talk about.
But also, this is important, Michael.
I think that the Wendy's, the burgers are the best. And I really like the Frosties, but the fries are not the best.
Gotcha.
That's kind of where I'm at with that.
Jenny, what about you?
I think maybe I just tried a bad Wendy's burger because I feel like the first Wendy's burger I tried kind of tastes like sawdust.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
It tasted like a lot of filler, but this was like the first time I tried it was maybe 20 years ago.
Gotcha.
So maybe it's less filler now.
Mine's A&W.
Yeah.
Personally. Oh, yeah, A&W.
Yeah.
Canadian beef.
Mm-hmm. Canadian beef. Okay, sorry. So
we're not even, we got to wrap up the.
Sorry.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, so he finds them and then they run away. And the guy chases the entire time. They do not have a single moment of silence. Anytime the camera is on them, they are talking and it is all improv. It is all very obvious. Mm-hmm. And some of it gave me a little chuckle. most of it, I was just like, okay.
Shoulder shrug.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They drive away in the student driver car. And then the other guy follows in like a proper car, but there's like a bit, cause like there's two steering wheels and it's like, let me drive. No, let me drive. Like, let me drive.
You're already driving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of physical humor.
Yes, yes.
It's interesting because around this point, it feels like the episode is wrapping up, but it clearly isn't.
I feel like it feels like it's wrapping up all throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, the murder's done. It's like, oh, no, it's not. They're going to catch the guy. It's like, oh, yeah, but there's more to do.
Yeah, exactly.
While they're driving, Sean finally gives up the steering wheel and then he texts his father instead of calling the police.
No police.
Yeah, no police, whatever.
He's lucky that his father saw his phone in the middle of his class.
Yeah. I was actually wondering about this. Like, why are we at his father's criminology class now?
So they could do a whole bunch of like dad jokes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the arrogance of the child in that guy's class who was like, this was supposed to be an online class and none of us are happy about it.
We're too cool for school.
Yeah. I wanted to punch that kid.
Yeah.
So anyways, he gets the text from his son and then he's like, oh, school trip or whatever. And then he brings these kids to go catch somebody.
Totally professional. Let's bring like three students to a crime scene. Active crime scene. I'm going to bring my gun too.
I was just like, what? I was like, why wouldn't you just say like do some reading or something. I gotta go.
No, he needs to show the kids that criminology is really super cool. Kids, don't do crime.
You can't learn this online.
Solve crime.
Yeah.
That was rad, actually. I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
This is amazing. What? And then so the dad comes by, he has a gun, he saves his son, and then he says he finally called me. So I'm guessing that was like a really big deal too,
because Sean never wants help, basically, especially from his dad. So wholesome.
And then it ends. Just kidding, there's more.
then
it turns out that the narrator, him being a narrator this entire time, was actually a video that he gave to Gus. And then we learn that he actually didn't have the balls to tell anybody that he was leaving.
Which is ridiculous.
He didn't have the guts to tell Gus.
He didn't have the guts to tell Gus. I love that.
Yeah.
And he took the coward's ways out and he sent videos to everybody. Like, he didn't say bye to anybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was already not like really feeling this guy. And then I was, and then that happened and I was like, oh.
It is like the breakup text.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said that it wasn't like it, but it was like it.
It's totally like
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like weirdly like a foot in both directions of like you had to go to a physical location to give the thing, but also still wouldn't like say to them. Like, that's just so weird.
Yeah.
It's very narcissistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Like, fuck you.
It's like, I'm going to make you listen to this, but I don't want to say it to your face.
And then so we see Gus seeing the video and we see the police guy who was from Galvan, I forget his name, seeing the video. And then we see this other guy seeing a video. He turns around and it's fucking Val Kilmer.
It's Val Kilmer. Yeah.
Yeah, I was. That was very funny.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is Val Kilmer doing here? And I presume is a stunt cast of some kind, because it seemed like a big reveal when he turned around.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk a little bit about what this character was?
So throughout the series, they talk about like this really great, I guess, detective, but we never really see him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the final like reveal of who that is.
Right, okay.
And also like Sean does talk about how he like really looks up to Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
So it turns out it's the same person.
Yeah, that's great. So it was a...
Okay. It was a long running joke that mm-hmm. they finally did the punchline for.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
That is cool. I like the fact that they also tied in the Val Kilmer bit. So there was significance to it being Val Kilmer and not just mm-hmm. some random famous guy. Got it.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Who was the junior detective?
Oh, that's Buzz. So yeah, we didn't really see him in this episode, but he is probably like a fan favorite. He's just like really funny guy throughout the seasons.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, it's really nice that he finally made it.
Okay, so he was kind of just like around.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. So good for that guy.
Yeah, good for that guy that you guys have no emotional connection to.
Yeah, I was just...
But it was good for the fans to see.
You know what? For like a hot minute, I really thought that it was his son or something. And he was just like a really distant father. Because like when he was like, fix your tie, I was like, that's a dad thing to say, right? And then you think it's over.
But it's not.
Yeah, because then he goes and talks to his girlfriend.
Yeah, you think it's over. And then it turns out he's in San Francisco at a crime scene where his girlfriend is working. Mm-hmm. And he's touching things at the crime scene, which upset me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it would upset a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel like they really made light of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if it was a real crime scene, it would just be like, get the fuck on the ground. You're going to jail for like tampering with evidence.
Why are you guys even in here?
But anyways, so he talks to his lady and then they're like chatting a little bit. And then it turns out like Gus shows up, which I actually did not see coming. And he goes on this like huge rant about how he like wants to come live there because friendship, and he had no doubts, and then you actually see that he turned back like 12 times because he was so doubtful about what he was doing with his life.
But my favorite part about it is that he goes into this conference room, he's about to make a big speech, and then he goes and like takes a bite out of a pastry and puts the pastry down and then leaves. And then when he comes back, he picks up a different pastry.
But he doesn't bite that one.
Yeah. Oh,
I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also very upsetting to me. What a waste of pastries.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he bring the pastry with him? Right. I mean,
like I can understand him putting the files down.
Yeah.
But the pastry is free game.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have just taken that with him.
Yeah.
I actually really liked the part where he confessed to that girl.
And
he has this whole speech about how, like, be the center of my galaxy with 9 planets.
I was
like,
he's very upset that Pluto is no longer a planet. It's a long-running joke.
Okay.
They even did an episode at the planetarium regarding...
Oh, and he, like, does he fight with, like, the staff or whatever?
No, but he's, like, trying to pick a girl up, and they're both very upset that Pluto's no longer a planet.
Nice.
That's a good line, then.
It's a good line.
Anyways, he goes in for a kiss with this lady, and she, like, pepper sprays him.
Yeah.
She maces him.
Yeah.
Full-on maces him, which was great, and then he's, like, crying while driving, like, a shitty...
That was very funny to me.
...beat-up car. Yeah, it was hilarious. And so then he's there to be with his friend forever.
With his best friend, BFF.
And then the worst proposal I've ever seen happens where Sean proposes to Jewel. Mm-hmm. And then the ring gets stolen.
Mm-hmm. And then she surprisingly says yes.
Yeah, she does.
I have like a funny bit about like the actress.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know if I can say I met her, but I guess technically yes. Like I was volunteering downtown for like this event called West End Games Night, which is basically like you play board games outside with strangers. And so she came up to the booth to ask what's it about, and I recognized her. And it just like when you're kind of starstruck, but you don't want to point out that you recognize someone, so you're still trying to be like act normal while you try to explain something. So I'm trying to explain to her about this event, but I can feel my voice like just rising like, with every word. And she's so nice, right? She has like this smile. She's like nodding, listening to me while I'm just like la la la. And then she's like, oh, nice. And then she walks away. I'm like, oh, God.
I know you from that show.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's great.
I get starstruck, too.
That's basically every situation I have when I see a celebrity at PAX is super starstruck.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's that person.
Don't be annoying.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a good experience meeting a celebrity.
Really?
Yeah.
I have one where I got in line to get Felicia Day to sign her book for me.
Oh, yeah.
And when I went up to the booth, she said, I like your face. And I was just like, thank you. She gave me my book back, yes, and I left.
Take the compliment. Oh, wow. No, I had great experiences.
I think she meaned it sincerely, but I was just like, that's a weird thing to say.
That makes me feel better about my awkward Felicia Day story. So.
Oh, no, share yours.
Share yours. What happened?
No.
Okay. No worries.
We're so behind, guys.
Sorry. Okay. Anyways, so worst proposal that I've ever seen. Making it clear that there's going to be a third in the marriage. And then the ring gets stolen. Mm-hmm. But a full-on, like, car chase happens afterwards, and they're following along in, like, the student vehicle.
Yeah.
And then you get that beautiful shot of the bridge, and it's, like, very Vancouver. Obviously Vancouver. And then it ends.
That's the end of the series, but the movie Psych 1 and Psych 2 picks up immediately from that.
Oh, like the chase scene is immediately. Still in progress. That's great.
If I was to take a guess, and I know you say you haven't seen the movies, but if I was to take a guess, I bet you the movies aren't filmed in Vancouver.
I can't confirm or deny that because I don't know.
I cannot confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I should be a politician, guys.
You should.
So, Jenny Lin, what does Psych mean to you?
Psych was a really fun show. I feel like it's not very serious, and it came out about time, like, with Scrubs, which is also similar, like, bromance comedy. And, like, even in the last episode, they had a bit about how now they're in San Francisco and they don't need a consultant because they have their own consultant. They're actually talking about Monk. If you guys know the show Monk.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So it's like in the same realm as like Monk and Mentalist, but it's a lot sillier, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then like I did watch a few episodes a couple of days ago and I really enjoyed seeing Vancouver, like every episode, I'm like, oh, where's that? I think that's in Whistler, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm like recognizing some local actors. It's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just felt like it's a really fun show where you can just put on the background even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has quite a big cult following. Like,
I would imagine if it got two movies, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Jeez.
Yes. Coming out next year, I think. Or this year.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Psych 3. But, like, in this episode, we actually didn't really. I don't know if you guys noticed any pineapples, but pineapples is like a huge thing in the series. And they even have, like, a website called psychpineapple.com where you can go see where pineapples are mentioned or shown each single episode.
Wow. That just seems like something a cult show would do. You know what I mean? Cult. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And apparently fans of the shows are called psychos.
That makes sense. Was this like your show? Would you say? Like this was like I'm just wondering. No.
Mm-hmm. It's a show that you watch all the way through, but you don't have like a meaningful connection with.
It's fun to talk about with friends, but I can't really place this in my top 10. Is that bad to say since I'm coming at the show to talk about
it? No, that's fine. No, that's fine.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't even think we've actually had people that are like that. That are like, oh, yeah. Like, we've had people that have hated the show and people that have loved the show. And then not people that are just like, yeah, it's just something I watched. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hmm. Did you watch it because, like, your friends were watching it or because everyone else was watching it? Like, well, why did you watch it?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like It was because I was in a comedy mood and I had just binged Seinfeld.
Right.
And then I had binged like some other show and I just like came across this and then binged this. Hmm. You know, like those moves that you get into.
Right, right. So you just binge a lot of shows.
Yeah.
This is a quite a show to binge too. It's right. It's like 8 seasons and
8 seasons.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. It's like during summer vacation when you got nothing to do.
Okay. Interesting.
Cool.
Like them.
I got like one other interesting tidbit, even though we don't actually see in this episode, is where so they drove a car, which they dubbed the Blueberry because it's a blue Toyota Echo. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that the car that they used in the show was a Toyota Echo hatchback, which doesn't actually sell in the States, but it sells in Canada. But since the show is supposed to be in the States, it's kind of an oversight.
Oh, nice. It's a tell that mm-hmm. they're in Vancouver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not in the States.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's hilarious. Giving it away.
Nice.
Jenny, is this a good episode? Like, is this a happy finale? Did people like this finale?
Oh, yeah, this is a great finale. It wrapped up pretty well. But there's still the movies, right? Like, if you don't have,
right,
if you don't
right.
get enough of the show, just watch the movies. Mm.
Okay,
fair. Yeah, it was also like 8 seasons, I think. If you're sad that your show's ending after 8 seasons, I mean, come on, man. It's 8 seasons. Calm down.
Okay, so giving my review for this episode in general. This episode was fine. like a 5. I think I would give it like 5 DVDs worth of things that should be said in person out of 10.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I think I enjoyed this more than you, Melanie. I found it. I feel like I could definitely see myself binging this show sometime long after I've caught up on all of the shows that I'm watching right now.
Yeah, you have a long, extensive list.
I do have a long, extensive list of shows. But, like, there is something that really spoke to me of, like, this could be a very, very comfort food show. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, the kind of show that you just sort of put on in the background, like mm-hmm. like Jenny mentioned. I could totally see myself putting this on and then, like, playing a game or something and just sort of chuckling at it occasionally.
Right.
I think I'll give it 8 hidden pineapples out of 10.
That's a really high score.
Yeah.
I expected to be lower because you're like, I barely laughed.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's what I'm saying. If I laugh on the inside, it doesn't mean that I don't find it funny.
Yeah. It makes your heart mm-hmm. full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a very fluffy show in general. But for this episode, I think, maybe like 6 Val Kilmers.
Nice.
I like that.
It gave a pretty general like idea of how the show is, but like some jokes were hits, some jokes were missed.
Yeah.
And they were trying to put a lot of like wholesome moments in that's a little forced.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I really don't like the fact that the moments that should have been heavy weren't heavy.
Mm-hmm. You weren't crying.
No, not even that. It's like the moment with his dad, it's like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, show that I love you or whatever, but I'm also gonna make a really, really, like, I'm gonna make a bunch of jokes now because I don't want to sit in that moment. Like, there wasn't enough mm-hmm. silence, I guess. It's weird.
I guess it kind of, like, explains his character of why he doesn't like feelings, so he always makes jokes during heavy moments.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I guess for me, I just don't like that. And I didn't really like him. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know, maybe that would change if I were to go back and watch it, but I don't think that this show's for me. I'm sorry.
Another apology mm-hmm. to yourself,
to myself, to the fans,
to the psychos
of psych,
to the psychos.
Yeah, to yeah. the psychos. Yeah, I do want to go and watch that musical episode, though.
I do kind of want to watch a musical episode, too. I think I'll, like, again, in a alternate reality where I didn't have anything to watch, I would definitely pick the show up. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not good enough for me to pick it up in general. I think that I did really like what it was doing as a finale. Again, like, the whole, like, thing about going after the partners and then evaluating their own partnership. I thought that was clever. And I enjoyed the humor, even though it wasn't laugh out loud humor, except for the bit that I mentioned. And I don't know. Yeah, I would go back and watch this show. Probably.
Probably. Only if there's pastries being eaten.
The thing is, I've seen so many other, like, just through this pod, like, let's put it this way. If I wasn't doing this podcast and seeing so many shows that I go back and watch, this show would be higher on that list. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't reach the other shows that I said I would go back and watch, of which I have not made a list, but I'm sure that there are many.
Too many good shows, too little time.
It's true. Would you go back and watch this show, Jenny?
Yeah, you might as well just binge the whole thing again. The real question is would you go and watch the movies now that you've
seen?
I mean, you obviously haven't seen them yet, so.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, they're not for free to watch, so you gotta buy them.
Oh, right, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on Prime, but you gotta buy them with money.
Boo money.
Boo money.
Boo earns. Thank you again for liking my joke. I appreciate your laughter.
Jenny, you're very funny.
Oh, thank you.
You're very funny. Everything that you've said is like freaking gold, man. I think I enjoyed chatting with you about every other thing as opposed to actually chatting about this show.
Yes, let's talk about Flaxseed and Wendy's burgers.
Yes.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Doval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Doval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.